What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. It is the Q&A show for November 5th. It's a big week for a lot of different reasons. So let's go ahead and get right into it. I want to thank you all again for all of your questions. I truly appreciate every single one. And I love doing these. Love talking to you guys about this stuff. Reed Greenspan says, interested in hearing your thoughts on the whole Impact Wrestling wedding storyline. I don't like it. I don't like the Who Shot Mr. Burns thing. I didn't like the wedding. I didn't like Wrestle House or whatever that was. I didn't like the Neverworld, Underworld, Other Realm crap. I did not like all that. It was not for me. Now, you have to understand before somebody clips this and says, oh my God, Sean hates Impact. No, I didn't like any of that stuff. I liked a lot of the performers associated. I did not like that at all. Nowadays, they're in a different situation. They got to do something creative to make shows stand out, but they didn't need to do that before, and this kind of stuff was going on before. They've killed off people. They've ran over little kids. They've pushed Mickey James in front of a train. They killed off Allie. Like, this goofy shit was going on long before this. Brian D'Amber says, what's up with Mel? Just nothing for her. You said something on a show about Baker getting the title and then personalities coming out in the women's division. Who do you think that starts that role after Baker? Nothing for Melanie right now. I don't know how long her contract is. She signed at the beginning of December last year. So if it's a one-year deal, it would be up soon. Wasn't ready in the ring for what they wanted her to do. As far as who I think starts that role after Britt Baker becomes champion eventually, Chris Statlander is one whenever it is that she comes back. I think Layla Hirsch will be signed by then, and then he'll be able to, or she'll be able to get some stuff done there. I think we'll see people like Shayna really emerge. We'll see Big Swole again pop back through there. Anna Jay has developed a personality. Tay Conchi, I think we'll see more of her. They've structured their division to where it can be really healthy in the future. It's just right now, it's kind of hurting. Kangle says, do you know when Naomi might return? No update. If I had an update on that, it would be on the site. And he asks, I know she was drafted to Raw, but you expect her to wind back on SmackDown to be a part of the Roman Usos story. Not right now. I think that for now, they don't have any real need to do that. I mean, there's no woman for Naomi to necessarily work with. But I think for now, until they start traveling again, they'll have Naomi on a different brand. Because right now, it doesn't matter. You can't say, oh, well, they're splitting up Jimmy and Naomi. No, Jimmy's hurt. They're not traveling. They're not really splitting up anybody there. So it doesn't do any harm. When do you think WWE will hold a show in Saudi Arabia again? I think it'll be 2022. Do you think the WWF Invasion 2001 was a good pay-per-view? Yeah, sure. It was fine. It's one of the highest selling pay-per-views of all time. Would you like to see Bobby Lashley as WWE Universal Champion? Yes, with the appropriate push, I would like that. Not with the 50-50 horse shit that they often give him. They give him really good pushes, then they cut him off. Give him really good pushes, then they cut him off. Really good pushes, then they cut him off. We've seen it 100 times, at least when they do opt to push him. Hunter says, do you know how much say NXT performers have on their finishers? As in, if a new signee wants to get over a new or pre-established finish, they have to get it cleared first. There are some instances where they do. I mean, they always run that stuff by agents or producers before they end up doing it. There are some that they're told, okay, well, you can't do that because somebody else is doing that. But For the most part, they get to decide their finishers as long as it doesn't conflict with anybody else's, at least in what I've heard. Scott Druian says, will we see the day that WWE figures out what to do with Limitless Keith Lee? Yeah, but it's a two-way street. I think they will, but he's got to find out how to adjust to a more broad crowd, too, because he's got to be able to take that crappy terminology that WWE gives him and spin it into something special. And I don't know that he's quite figured out how to do that, but I'm sure he's more than capable of doing so. Chris Phillips says, is R-Truth a Hall of Famer? I think so. I mean, I not even I think so. By WWE standards, yes. He is a WWE Hall of Famer. He's held he is the 24/7 title. He's held the tag title with Kofi, US title a couple times. He even has the hardcore title on his resume, so to speak. But we've seen that WWE also includes things that happened outside of WWE. And he was an NWA World Heavyweight Champion in TNA twice. He held their tag titles three different times. So yeah, I think he is. He's got a 20-year body of work on American wrestling television. And I don't see that. I don't see him slowing down anytime soon. He's still doing it at 48. Plus, he's well-liked by everybody there. Hunter says, any word on Brian Pillman Jr.'s status with AEW? Man, he looks like his dad. Well, they can't like officially sign him until July because he's still under MLW contract, and he did go to those tapings that they held recently. Yes, he does look more like his dad all the time. And the funny thing is, like, he didn't seem like he looked a ton like his dad when I first met him like 3.5 years ago. You could see it, and he was wearing like a Bengals shirt and all that, but you really see it now, like the hair and all that. Like he had a really good vision for that. Kevin says, you mentioned Triple H tearing his quad when he was tagging with Austin. Have you ever come across any possible plans if that doesn't happen? If not, how different do you think the invasion plays out if Triple H doesn't get hurt? Triple H was supposed to feud with Austin. I don't know if they're even involved in the invasion if that happens, but you do have history of both men being involved in WCW, so you could have made that work somehow. So I could see them each being in that heel role, but I think that Steve Austin's heel run is so underrated. So many people talk about how bad that was, how bad of a decision it was. I was just as entertained, if not more, by Austin as a heel doing some of the funny stuff as I was during his prime run. Zay Bolt says, since the Thunderdome is leaving the Amway Center, do you think WWE will announce where they're going before, during, or after Survivor Series? I think they'll do it in some sort of media announcement, like a press release or a leaked thing to Sports Illustrated or Variety or something like that around Survivor Series. That way they can capitalize on the attention associated with that. Jake says, coming up on 7 months later, the decision to put Charlotte over Rhea at Mania make any more sense? No, it makes significantly less sense. And Triple H tried to say that it was going to make more sense by the summer. It didn't. Charlotte left. She won the Royal Rumble when she didn't need to over Shayna Baszler. Then she beat Rhea Ripley at WrestleMania. Then when she dropped the title at In Your House, she didn't even lose that match. She didn't get pinned in that match. There was no need for that. It did not help ratings. It did not help viewership long term. It didn't do anything except diminish the value of Rhea Ripley. Now, here's the thing. Rhea Ripley was not working as champion the way that they had hoped because, and that's their fault. They got to figure out what keeps her over once she gets over. And as it turns out, her beating the living shit out of people and having really hard-hitting matches does that because you believe it from her. Makes no sense. Jake says, how much did MJF's mermaid comparison catch you off guard? It caught me off guard a lot. I had no idea about the history of mermaids, and that was a very unique comparison. I got to give him credit there. Jake says, is it odd that NXT never put titles on the top stars like Bianca and LeRae, especially since they've had numerous title shots? That booking in NXT can be very, very odd sometimes. It's very clear that sometimes they don't put titles on someone because they like they'll almost have to book them to lose the title at some point. It's so odd. I don't have a reason, but yes, it is very odd. I can't explain it. It's just what I've always assumed is that they don't want to book them into a certain corner because of the titles, but then instead they're booked as perennial contenders but losers. I don't get it. Oliver Suskin Santarelli says, just finished my first day of pro wrestling classes. Any advice on things to practice now in the early stages? Yes. Three-quarter rolls, tucking your chin, hitting the ropes. One of the biggest benefits for me early on in wrestling training was that I trained both in a boxing ring and on like MMA mats. And if you learn how to wrestle and chain things together without the use of the ropes, oh my gosh, it helps so much when you're actually able to. And also, you learn things to do, rolls, bumps, moves that don't require bumps, that you can work through if the ring is broken, if the ropes are broken, and if you work on mats or a boxing ring or something like unfortunately I had to do, unfortunately for my back, then when you get into a real ring and you've got ropes and you've got corners and you've got a more sustainable, soft ring, the transition's a little bit not a little bit easier, it's a lot easier. I had a very easy transition to training in a pro wrestling ring from those other surfaces, but I would also encourage you to actually train catch wrestling or jiu-jitsu or something like that. I say catch wrestling because you learn to keep your shoulders off the mat, but yeah, three-quarter rolls are probably a savior for a lot of people. Think there's any chance Enzo ever comes back to WWE? I would say about a 5% chance. Which cruiserweight would you put the title on next after Escobar? Pete Dunne. I think Pete Dunne could bring some prestige to that, and I would have him destroy people with that title. I think that would be a really good one for him. And he could say that that's the real world championship type of thing. Like, yeah. Dev says, could Candice LeRae move to Raw or SmackDown without Gargano, at least for the remainder of the pandemic era? It would appear there are no long-term plans for an NXT. Normally, I would say, no, that's not possible. Nowadays, I think it's very possible that we see something like that. Because as I mentioned time and time again, these people are not traveling. They are in Orlando. Most of them already live there. You're not splitting up anybody by just having one on another show. So yeah, I do think that would be very possible. And I'm surprised she's not on SmackDown right now already. Any word on Mance Warner's status as MLW is ready to restart? Is he still with the company? They say he is. He doesn't want to be. He was not at the tapings. Dev says, do you think NXT programming would have benefited from being involved in the draft? Does the roster feel stale to you? I don't think they would have been benefited from the draft because I think they would have got hosed. It did feel stale to me. They brought in Ridge Holland. He got hurt, unfortunately. Karrion Kross got brought in the spring. He got hurt, unfortunately. They brought in Finn Balor last year. Unfortunately, he's hurt. But they got back Austin Theory. They've brought up Ashanti the Adonis. Jake Atlas is getting more and more featured. Kushida's getting a renewed push. You've got Thatcher emerging over the last several months. Dunn is back. Legado del Fantasma is a reinvention of some familiar names. Killian Dane has something a little juicier to sink his teeth into. Drake Maverick has emerged. There have been enough changes. I think if they change the actual look of the show, it would feel less stale, if you know what I mean. I just think that the look of the show kind of drags it down. There aren't many that are as universally beloved in the independents as Nick Gage. Why do you think ROH, MLW, Impact, and AEW have neglected to use him for a one-off or cameo appearance? I don't have a good answer for that. Nick Gage is very easy to deal with in my experience, but he did like one ROH match, I think like 17 years ago, but that's it. Don't have a good answer for that. Maybe because of his history, but I mean, he's so well revered on the independent circuit now that it's hard for me to believe that something that he really did his time for would weigh over him that much, if at all, especially considering he seems to be a well-adjusted individual. So I don't have a good answer for that. I can tell you that there are people in each of those companies that are pulling for him, but he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that'll get into a deal that doesn't benefit him and people that he cares about. I can't say much more beyond that because I don't really know him much. John Small says, with the ROH bringing the Pure title and Lee Moriarty being a breakout star of the COVID era, do you feel like a more grappling-based style will become more commonplace? Or this might be a passing trend like the grapple fuck era evolve. I don't know if that meant grapple fuck or grapple fuck, but either way, I like it. I kind of knew that that era of evolve was not going to be something that appealed to a wide base. I like it, But the thing is, I like doing it. I like actively wrestling that style myself more than I like watching it, if that makes any sense. And there's a level of education you can gain by doing that actively, and it's not aesthetically pleasing to everybody. Stay tuned about the ROH thing. I've got some news coming on some big changes that they have coming their way, but I think that that style will at least make up a segment of the show every week, I would imagine. And I do think that there will be some sort of, there will be some indies that try to latch onto that, and you'll have people say, oh, well, let's do some pure rules style matches. Aiden says, questions on the whereabouts of three WWE stars that were favorites of me back in the day. Tugboat, he's around. He does conventions. Rick Steiner, he's around. I see him on Facebook all the time. Pretty sure he's doing real estate these days. Joey Mercury, he's somewhere. He's still on Twitter doing his thing, but a lot of hesitation for people to get involved with him. Also, is Carmella going to be a star in the ring? I mean, I don't think she's going to ever be considered super worker, but I encourage people to look back at Charlotte's return match a couple years back, and Carmella was the person who carried that match because Charlotte was just getting back. So she can be. Aiden also says, Sean, I was really touched by your words last week regarding depression. I admire your openness. It makes a huge difference to society. I have anxiety and PTSD. Thank you. Huge credit in the stigma. Yeah, it was pretty, gosh, I don't know. I want to word this appropriately. I was pretty sure when I was depressed. I wasn't pretty sure. I was sure when I was depressed because I had never been depressed before. I had never felt like I had. I had had some situations that I didn't feel great about in the past, and like, my gosh, like any time that you have an argument with somebody or you treat somebody in a way that you look back and you go, man, that was shitty. I wish I wouldn't have done that. You have regret and shame and stuff like that. But I was not ever depressed until a few weeks in March. And very, very fortunately, I was able to find something that worked for me and made things better. And it's one of those situations where, quite frankly, I didn't want to tell my wife at first because I didn't want her to think it was her responsibility. It wasn't. I have a super great marriage. I didn't want my friends to think that it was their fault. I have a lot of really awesome friends. But when they noticed it, I was like, okay, if they notice it, it's pretty obvious. And I have a very good life. I'm very successful professionally. I have a lot of great friends. Again, I have a great marriage. I like where I live by and large. There, of course, are some things that I don't like. There are a lot of things that really fulfill me. I'm able to help like my staff and all that stuff. Money is not like a gigantic motivating factor for me. So, being able to get over that was very important and very helpful. I'm glad that it helped you a little bit hearing about it. I'm glad it helped. Matt Hookie says, last week in an uncharacteristic moment, Dave Meltzer described Alberto Del Rio as a fucking horrible person. Excluding ongoing legal issues, is this a view that you share? Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with Dave Meltzer 100,000% on this. Alberto Del Rio is a fucking horrible person. Dave Meltzer was completely right. Do you think AEW will sign Allison Kay? I think that Allison Kay will get attention from ROH, from AEW, probably from Impact too, and from WWE. I think she'll get a lot of suitors. With Dynamite ticket sales dropping and slow sales for Full Gear, how long before AEW have totally exhausted the Jacksonville market and the number of fans attending, combined with the lack of atmosphere of live shows, without the crowd sweetening masks? Are pre-taped shows the better option? No, I think that live is the better option for established talent, taped for emerging talent. If they exhaust the Jacksonville market, they can just start papering the crowd and people will show up there. That's the reality of the situation. They can just start papering and people will show up there. But, I mean, it's the situation they're in. They don't have any other option right now. Just the same as if WWE started to run, they'd probably be running like Orlando and doing that over and over again. you're going to get some of that fatigue and the fun, the excitement, the new wears off on some of that. I think they should switch it up a little bit as far as the crowd goes. Anakin says, do you see NXT people that have been on the main roster before popping up in the Royal Rumble, thinking specifically Balor, Moon, Rhea, and Adam Cole? Yeah, I do. I would give NXT their own Rumble, though. They've got enough talent, and I think that would make for an amazing episode of NXT TV, and also it would beat AEW in the ratings if they did that. Assuming WWE is crazy enough to run Raymond James for Mania, do you see them going with a different take on the pirate theme, keeping the LA theme or something else? I think they'll go back to the pirate theme. I do. Supposedly, talent met with Vince last Friday about Twitch streaming and cameos. Any idea how that went? Or if not, what the deal is with Adam Cole and Jessamyn Duke continuing to stream? It is not applying to NXT talent right now. And if WWE main roster talent had their way, it won't apply to them either. They are not happy about this. Woof. Not happy. Ben says, what do you think is to blame for the not-so-great storyline with the Bucks and FTR when it should almost write itself? Overbooking or on-the-fly booking, maybe? Well, it's hard to say if it's overbooking or on-the-fly booking, but I'll tell you what it is. It's bad booking. Like, these are legitimately two of the greatest tag teams in the world. I don't need a bunch of fuck finishes and goofy shit and shenanigans and unmaskings and all that. I don't need that. I need them coming out and saying, we are the best tag team in the world. We have the AEW tag team titles. We won titles in another company. We won every set of titles that they had. Everybody knew we were the best. And while we knew we were the best and everybody else knew we were the best, we had a whole subsection saying that you guys were the best. It makes itself. It's a dream match for a lot of people. So I would say overbooked, if now that I think about it. On that note, do you think some feuds are being uncharacteristically rushed into matches at Full Gear? Cody and Darby, yes, I do. I don't need that one. I'm sure it'll be a great match. I don't need it. Sheeta and Rose, I mean, not rushed. It was just like, oh, here you go. Here's that match. By the way, they don't like each other. They haven't all year. You know, because the only two people they go to with women's title programs these days. Other than that, I think it's all pretty solid. Omega and Paige definitely wasn't rushed. Jericho and MJF wasn't rushed. Moxley and Kingston has simmered for a while and really done well. Orange Cassidy and John Silver is going to be a lot of fun. Zach says, has there been any interest by AEW in signing more female talent? Yes, there has been. Any idea if Veda Scott will be back behind the AEW booth? They like her. And when I say they, I mean a lot of people there like her, and a lot of people that need to like her do like her. Zach, you had a question about Pac and whether or not that is going to be a prepackaged video or if he's there. By the time that you've seen this, or by the time you're hearing this, you already know that answer, so... Anthony says, with the third hour of Raw having only 1.45 million, which is reported to be the lowest in history, will there be any interest of Raw going back to 2 hours? No, not by WWE. They make a lot of money off that third hour, and that third hour, still for USA, does better numbers than anything they're probably going to pay for. Sean Murray says, when you were growing up, did you used to mimic a lot of wrestlers? For me, I never missed an opportunity to spit water out in the shower like Triple H. Yes, when I was a kid, wrestling and baseball specifically dominated my life. It's all I cared about. Any idea who plays the angry hecklers who you only see their hands on BTE? Yeah, Kazarian and Daniels. Ray says, do you think the Lana tables gimmick is going to end with her putting Nia through a table? Hogan suplex, Andre would have nothing on that spot. I hope it does. I hope somehow it does, because that would be a great spot. Are we going to find out who was in the Scream mask at Halloween Havoc? I figured it was Indy, but it sounds like she wasn't at the tapings. Indy was supposed to be at the tapings. She was held off for reasons of exposure, I believe. I don't think she had COVID. I wouldn't tell you if she did anyway. But there was an intent as of at least last week to reveal that, because I don't think that was even supposed to be a part of the match. You mentioned... eventually, AEW should have someone heelish enough to make MJF a temporary babyface. Do you think Eddie Kingston could beat Mox and be that ultra heel that makes MJF somewhat likable? I think he could. I think it's possible. I don't think right now is that time. I think MJF has to have a long, long, long run as a heel to have someone as dastardly as MJF turn. And I think it will happen. I think it will happen eventually, and you'll see MJF have like that inner struggle, like, man, I want to be a piece of shit, but I got to do this right thing. And I think it'll be really, really good. Matt says, Tower of Doom or Del Rio Stomp Spot, which would you love to never see again? I hate both of them. The Del Rio Stomp Spot makes less sense. Less sense, and it drives me nuts, man. It just takes me completely out of a match. Do you know of any surprise returns or debuts planned for Full Gear? I don't know of any. I know that they're claiming that there are going to be some surprises there. Brian Bayless says, with the signings of Anthony Bowens and Max Caster officially announced by AEW, are there any other names that are being signed by the company that you expect to be announced soon? Well, they effectively announced Lee Johnson. That's one I expected. I knew about Anthony Bowens. I've been hinting about that. I know there's at least one name that they're talking to that has appeared on Dark. WWE had started poking around a lot of the Dark talent. Who do you think has been the worst gimmick in the past 5 years or so? Nightmare Collective was terrible. It was a bad ripoff of a lot of really, really, really good storylines that they didn't execute well. Joel says, once upon a time, you mentioned receiving Raw TV rundowns, but it got to the point to where multiples were going around to possibly suss out a mole. Do you still receive the rundown for any WWE TV? And Joel said, if this question might cost someone a job or create a bigger issue, then obviously please disregard. I'll put it like this. I don't actively get sent them anymore because I have indicated to these multiple people that I don't feel comfortable with them. I could still get them. I know from at least two sides of things. But when I was getting these, they weren't putting necessarily factually incorrect information in those rundowns, but there were things that I would report, like agents and a lot of stuff like that, that they would exclude from certain rundowns and include in other ones. And I think they were trying to do that to narrow down based on what I was reporting. But the first moment that I got different copies of those rundowns, I stopped reporting it. Because as I mentioned, a scoop about who produced a match is not worth somebody losing their job for. I ain't doing that. Sheila says, AEW has been signing more wrestlers recently. Any progress on the second show? They plan within, like by a year from now, or by 10 months from now, I believe, was what Tony Khan had said the last go-around. So it'd be 10 months instead of a year at this point. What's ROH's next step after they crown their winner from the Pure Tournament? I think we're going to have some definitive divisions announced and some things that go along with those that differentiate one another. I have heard some stuff about this. I'm going to have a more extended report on it, but yeah, I'm working on it. Sheila says, I saw what a WWE virtual meet and greet consists of. It seems like these are specifically scheduled for certain wrestlers. Do you think this arrangement is too controlled compared to what WWE wrestlers used to do for Cameo and Twitch? Kind of, but like, I know that Queen Hannah, for example, said that she was talking to Xavier Woods about the election. So these seem a little bit private. So, I mean, like, Cameos get posted publicly. I don't think that these do, unless you want them to. Twitch is more of a, like, a public speaking sort of situation. But, I mean, I get what you're saying. Like, it is controlled, and that's the nature of WWE meet and greets. You get a certain amount of time with each person. I like this because it's something that you get a copy of, and these fans who I always love seeing get to meet wrestlers. That's what I've missed most about the pandemic era, is seeing so many people that I interact with on Twitter getting to meet people that they idolize and adore, and seeing how happy they are and how happy the wrestlers are seeing them too. So I do get what you mean, but I think it's making the best out of a bad situation. I do think they'll actually continue this when things go back to normal, though. But, Yeah, it's tough. It's the best of a bad situation, but they should also still be able to do Cameo if they want. Drew Walker says, where do you see Allison Kay and Thunder Rosa landing? Well, Thunder Rosa is going to land in NWA and Kanbate because she's still under contract. Allison Kay, man, it's really tough because here's the thing. AEW needs established women's talent. WWE is willing to sign anybody with TV experience that is good, and she is. ROH wants to reinvigorate their division, and Allison Kay would be a really good addition. And Impact Wrestling is always in the fold for a female wrestling talent, especially with them adding an entire new division. Oh, by the way, in June, they lost Thunder Rosa. They lost Katie Forbes, too, who wasn't doing anything but losing matches. But they also just lost Kylie Rae, who was a big part of that division. So I would expect them to make a play for her as well. What kind of stakes would you put in place for a Survivor Series 5-on-5 match? The winner gets to run Raw or SmackDown or gets a title match or gets inserted in an elimination match for the title. What's the plan for the women's tag titles? It seems like they're making Nia and Shayna as the dominant odd couple. Also, insert a spot involving Lana going through the table. When I asked a couple weeks ago, I was just told that there are no firm plans at any given time for those women's titles right now. So I can't even pretend to know, like, and because it doesn't seem like they even pretend to know at this point. Matt Payne says, do you think we end up with another women's War Games match this year? This year? No, I don't think so at all. And to end a very short Q&A this week, Dylan says, any idea why PW Insider pretends like they're WWF in the 80s and that no other wrestling media exists? Thank you. Okay, so I interact with Mike Johnson very minimally. I respect him. I think he's a very, very good reporter. There have been a couple times I've had to reach out and say, hey, we reported this earlier. And he said to me, oh, I heard that on my own. And I've had to be like, well, you heard it on your own because the ball got rolling after we reported the news. But I don't think that it's anything malicious. And this isn't like me complaining or anything like that. I'm just answering the question that was provided to me. There hasn't been an outlet that I haven't had to contact about providing attribution. That being said, there have been numerous times that outlets have had to contact us for attribution too, because we make an error. That happens. Nobody's going to bat 1,000 there, and I don't hold any ill will towards them or anything like that. I get the feeling that most people that are doing a lot of the reporting in wrestling don't have time to read other people's outlets. Like, I don't think that Dave Meltzer or Mike Johnson have the time to like comb through a lot of Fightful stuff or WrestleZone or Wrestling Inc. or Pro Wrestling Sheet or anything like that. So sometimes that just happens. Guys, thank you all so much. I appreciate you. Until next time, we're out.